This is no ordinary pod. No ordinary pod.
We didn't discuss beforehand, so I assume we're going double.
This is no ordinary pod. No ordinary pod.
And yes, this is an ordinary pod on the New Ordinary Pod and Radio St. Pete Network. I'm your host, Michael Duggar. Joining me, who just serenaded you with another beautiful rendition of the Noah Nuri Pod theme, is Noah Hemer. Noah, how are you doing at 6:54 Eastern Standard Time in Tallahassee, Florida?
Doing well. Just trying to grind out this last couple weeks of summer classes. I am very much looking forward to that being done with, so I can not be worried about school for a little bit. We got another heat wave going on in Tallahassee right now. I don't think we have a high that dips below like 93 or 94 over the next couple days. But when I looked at the, I kind of wanted to see what I really have to complain about. I looked at the weather across the U.S. yesterday, the highest high. Any guesses on what it was?
I know this is a very random thing to know, but I know Indiana had an extreme heat wave. And I knew that because a kid that I worked, that kid at the camp I work at, mentioned to me, Indiana's in an extreme heat wave. My family's up there freaking out. I don't know if they're the hottest, but I'll assume it's Midwest. I'll go randomly. Let's go Nebraska. Just a little shout out to Noah.
We'll be talking Nebraska soon, but we went. It's actually 115 in Death Valley, California.
Oh yeah,
that's hot. Any guesses on where the lowest low was?
Does Alaska count? Or are we talking continental USA?
No, Alaska counts, but I don't know. I think so, but on this website, the answer is not Alaska. Oh, it's for contiguous U.S., so not Alaska.
I'm going to guess Montana?
Close, but no cigar. 36 degrees in Stanley, Idaho.
Oh, man, that sounds nice.
Does sound pretty nice.
Yeah, the humidity in Tampa is 99%, so that... It's 76 degrees right now, currently, with 99% humidity. But it's now the typical summer days, where if you look at the weather forecast for the next 7 days, 91, 76, it's literally in those exact two highs and lows with rain and storms on the forecast for the rest of this next foreseeable future. Knowing this, it's all hoopla. But as always, it's hot with no wind and no break. So, stay warm, stay hydrated out there. I just ordered a new water bottle because we have merchandise, which is crazy to think that, you know, we've been recording podcasts for a year plus now. We've been saying the merchandise is coming for, like, I'd say 2 months now. And before we even have, I've even looked at a statistical analysis of who even has listened to it and subscribed on Spotify, which, by the way, we are on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Just search No Ordinary Pod in the search section. And we have merchandise. And you think, you know, maybe you should wait a little bit before you get merchandise. I'm like, you know what? I want to rock a shirt. You want to rock a shirt. We have people who want to rock shirts. And you get a cool little sticker in it. So we have merchandise. We're not openly. We don't have a website right now. We're not openly selling it like this. It's just word of mouth saying, hey, I want to support the cause. I had a homie say, whatever you got, I want one of. I've had people I haven't talked to in a long time hit me up and say, hey, count me down for a large. So we're excited. We have nowhere. We'll post the link. We'll post a shirt on Twitter, which is on me. I need to start being more active on that side of the social media game. But yeah, we have merchandise. Thanks, Noah, for you doing all that hard work. And yeah, I'm pretty happy with how things are going, to put it lightly.
Oh, I'm very pleased. We've kept it pretty simple, especially for this first go around, which I appreciate. You know, we're just trying to So it's kind of more like a test run in a lot of ways, but we get t-shirts out of it. So it's a good bounce. It's you know, last year, like we kept saying last year when we were recording in fall, you know, we were like, you know, we may not begin. It might not be exactly the product that we want. It might not be exactly, you know, the listeners that we want, but we are getting a good, nice test run. So now we're running this first test run on merch. And I'm excited for it. I'm excited to rock a No Ordinary Pod t-shirt and someone look at me and be like, yo, what's No Ordinary Pod? And that's the day where I'll be like, sweet. That's what I'm talking about. But I got some questions for you.
Before you get to the questions,
kick off this pod.
I understand. Okay. Before you get to the questions, sorry. Just to get on that, you hit it perfectly. The shirts are not for us to make money and support our cause. We did it for a year plus with nothing, with no listeners. We still don't have a lot of listeners. Shout out to the people who do. No anything. It's just, hey, let's just get on and talk sports for 2 hours or an hour, however long we need to, and let's just keep a record of it. And then it's fun. And the shirts are not for us to, like I said, to make a profit, because it's just, we're not money motivated people. The money's nice, and it's nice to turn a small profit in this, but it's about, you know, someone sees your shirt, someone sees your sticker on your water bottle, your Yeti, your cooler, your laptop, a tablet, any of these things, and they ask what that is, and then the person who has it says, oh, it's my buddy's podcast, it's my brother's podcast, it's my homie's podcast, it's this, it's that. And they're like, oh, I'll check it out. And that's just all the goals. You're just a word of mouth people. Just want to let that go, because, you know, some people think, oh, we're trying to support our cause. No, we would do this for free. We are doing this for free. And it's just a cool thing that we are this far along in the stage where we can have merchandise be sold and then actually get a surprising amount of feedback. So just want to say that. And let's get to your questions.
All right. Question number one. So college football media days are going off because we got training camp starting. It's July 19th. Training camps will be starting around the 3rd, 4th, 5th-ish, depending on when people's season starts, of August. And I don't know how it – I know you're pretty in tune with the Big 12, but the Big 12 is pretty – like the reason why Nebraska in particular left the Big 12 was because – the way Texas dominates the Big 12. So the Big 12 just announced that if a opposing player does a horns down, you know, they got the hook 'em horns up, they do the horns down, mm-hmm. and it's directed at a player in terms of taunting, that will be flagged and called unsportsmanlike conduct. So my question is, is that fair? And is there any other way? Is there any other team that could also have that in which they're not getting penalized for?
Is it fair? Are you saying, is it fair that Texas can have that happen, or the people who do the horns down to Texas people, they would get penalized and that's unfair?
No, is it? Yeah, that. Is it unfair that, is it fair that Texas gets like this special treatment?
I'm just under the, here, how can I put this? I'm one who, I don't hate the taunting. I wish more people would be, it's the old, have you seen any of this baseball bat flipping debate that's been going on for years that's now at a, at its peak because there's a shortstop named Tim Anderson for the White Sox who literally will hit a home run, walk halfway down first baseline with this bat and then flip it, and that gets everyone, just all the old baseball heads, that's just everyone just losing their mind. I like that stuff. I don't mind the Texas thing, but I feel like we've seen the rivalry firsthand with Florida State, Florida. Both teams do the gator chop or the tomahawk chop and then like do the throat slash, and there's never, and sometimes there's penalties, sometimes there's not. But I love the horns down thing. It's just a little simple thing, you know. You just look at the fans and you just do the horns down. I'm trying to think how it would be unfair for Texas. You think so? You think Texas is kind of flexing its power to say, hey, don't do it to our faces. But if you're going to do it subtly to fans, are you saying that they are getting special treatment in this rule?
Yeah, it's just like the SEC doesn't have any rules over like the opposing team not being able to gator chomp at other people, or what's another? I mean, the FSU tomahawk. I mean, it's not like, or like there's no rules in ACC that FSU players can't do like the U but upside down.
Oh yeah, that happens frequently.
Yeah, and that happens all the time. So it's like, how come Texas gets this special treatment? And I'm of the same mindset as we were with the whole tea sipping thing. If you don't want to get taunted, don't let them beat you.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Next question.
One more quick point. Yeah, sorry, go ahead. To you again. I mean, when Texas scores, what does Sam Ellinger, your boy Ellinger, do? He throws up the Longhorns. So, I mean, he's doing it. It's just a simple thing. And the fact, I understand what you're saying. Now, the fact that Texas gets so, if that they actually had to do this and get a rule that someone literally can't go like this, I'm doing the horn down motion. Come on, man. You have bigger problems to worry about in Texas than the horns down thing. This is the first time you actually have a very good team heading into a season since Mac Brown was there. And you are now putting energy and efforts towards stopping a taunting of your team. And like you said, if you want to stop them, don't let them score 55 points on you.
Amen. Amen. Moving in with more media days. Urban Meyer might not be the head coach at Ohio State anymore, but he was still brought up at Big Ten media days. Jim Harbaugh had this to say about him. Urban Meyer has a winning record, really phenomenal record everywhere he's been. Very true. Look at Utah, Florida, Ohio State.
Bowling Green.
But also Bowling Green even as well. He goes, really phenomenal record everywhere he's been. Also, controversy follows everywhere he's been. So my question to you, when we heard that Urban Meyer was leaving Ohio State, we both immediately went, he's going to be the head coach at USC come the beginning of the 2020 season. So let's assume that that happens, because I'm pretty sure that it's going to happen. Do you think the controversy there could be end up being bigger than what Pete Carroll and the Reggie Bush stuff ended up being at USC?
I don't think there'd be controversy. He went to USC. I think the Florida. Okay, so I'm not sure if there was. Do you know of the controversy that was at Utah?
Not in particular.
Okay, so it's the Florida and Ohio State aspects of it, most likely. And the Florida thing was, I mean, the main thing at Florida was he left the team just out of the blue. I'm not going to say he faked mental condition, but there were some doubts about the medical condition. He took a TV year and then went to Ohio State. He saw that job was going to open up. So is the Florida controversy mainly down to that and the Aaron Hernandez recruiting?
I would say so, yeah. I don't really know any other controversies that would happen in particular for Florida.
So in your eyes, is that even a controversy? Is ignoring red flags and having a player play football who then went to the NFL and played about 4 or 5 years for the Patriots, is that... I can't believe I'm actually defending Urban Meyer for this right now. I haven't got to the Ohio State aspect yet, but is that really controversy in your eyes?
No, but him, not necessarily, because it happens all the time. I mean, and that's a whole, this is opening up a whole nother can of worms, but I mean, look at just like Tyreek Hill and what he's got. And obviously that's not Aaron Hernandez, but like it happens all around the NFL that players are getting bypasses because they're really good at what they do. What I do think is controversial is him, and I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not one to question anyone's medical, but it's fishy how he medical takes a leave for a year, then he says he needs to be with his family, but goes and gets a TV job when he doesn't need the money. Mm-hmm. And then a year later takes over at Ohio State. That's I have a lot more respect now for Kevin Durant, but that's Kevin Durant OKC or Golden State type of soft.
I guess that is. And the Ohio State controversy, we've discussed a lot about the domestic violence issues, and that ultimately led to his resignation or stepping away. The health reasons, yes, all that stuff, but I don't think that the controversy will follow him to USC, because Ohio State recruits itself in a way because it's the name, and it constantly just produces NFL players and constantly just wins Big Ten titles and stuff like that, that they're always on TV, so they get the recruiting. USC, you get Urban Meyer, and Urban Meyer, USC, you get recruits. So the recruiting side of things, I don't think there's going to be any shady business there compared to the rest of the college football world. I also think that USC will do everything in their power to make sure that there is completely scotch-free of any lingering assistant coach hiring issues. They're going to do their background. They're going to make sure that everyone is perfect and all that stuff. And all of his assistants at Ohio State are still at Ohio State or their head coaches somewhere. So he's going to have to revamp his whole staff. And USC, they're going to take a lot of – USC and Urban are going to take a lot of flack if it happened. So I think that they'll be very smart in who they hire, who they surround Urban with, and that – here's the thing. Pete Carroll and Reggie Bush – quote unquote, they broke a lot of violations. But do you remember them for the falling out after Reggie Bush's family getting a house? Or do you remember them for USC destroying everyone in their path except Texas and Reggie Bush doing the behind the back against Fresno State on the sidelines? Like, where do they rank in your memory? What's the first thing that comes to mind?
Oh, it's the game against Texas. That's the first thing that comes to mind. I think that was 04, right?
I think 05, because I lost $50
yeah,
on
so
it.
I
was a 12-year-old making bets.
I was just young, but I remember just Reggie Bush balling on everyone, and he was he was on the cover of like one of the NCAAs. So I was like, oh, Reggie Bush, he's awesome. So that's true. Mm-hmm. I guess. When he becomes the head coach at USC, do you think he would actually be able to retire officially and then not be able to walk away? A clean retire without having to have some asterisk by it?
After USC?
Yeah.
Him bringing USC back to life would be the pantheon of his career. And I think he would be okay walking away. And I also think it's a lifestyle change. You've lived in Bowling Green, Ohio, Salt Lake City, Utah, Gainesville, Florida, and Columbus, Ohio. I think Los Angeles, California, making $10 million a year is a good place for you to go, retire, do all that stuff, just as long as Los Angeles is still existing and stuff like that, because with all these earthquakes happening, who knows what's going to happen. But, yeah, I can see him retiring. I can see him retiring at USC. And think about that. Has anyone in college ever coached Florida, Ohio State, and USC? That's an impressive resume. And if he wins, he's got to be up there. Three national championships, three different schools, four and three different schools. He has to be up there with Saban, Bear Bryant as the best ever. I love that we're talking like
you.
It's actually going to – I love that we're talking like it's going to happen when it doesn't look like it will, but it's funny that we're having a full on USC Urban Meyer discussion.
All right, you can think that it won't happen, but I'm still of the mindset that it will. Next question. The Scott Frost effect has been real.
Oh God.
Into year two, you know, he took an 0-12 team, did better year one at Central Florida and then went undefeated year two. Last year they went 5-7 in Lincoln. They currently have 30-1 odds to win the national title. That is tied with the Auburn Tigers. They are ahead of Florida. Okay. They are ahead of Notre Dame, Texas A&M. Those would be the biggest ones that I would see. They are just behind Texas, LSU, Oklahoma, Ohio State, Michigan, Georgia, Clemson, Alabama. So my question to you, Scott Frost also said he would not trade Adrian Martinez for any other quarterback in the country. My question for you is, will Nebraska be able to live up to the Scott Frost year two hype? And if not, how far away are they?
Should I ask you this question instead?
No, because I asked you this question.
You're the Nebraska fan. I'm looking at their schedule. They host South Alabama. Much favorable. I think they can beat South Alabama. I mean, who was their embarrassing loss last year amongst the many of them? Hopefully they can beat South Alabama at home. At Colorado. I think Colorado lost their quarterback and talent. I'm pretty sure. So I think you can get that. Northern Illinois, I hope you can get that. At Illinois, whose Illinois is going to be improved, but I think you can do that. The big one is the week after that when you host Ohio State. And I'm like, you know, usually when a team loses a first-round quarterback, besides Oklahoma, they're going to suffer. But Ohio State lost Dwayne Haskins and now has Justin Fields. So what I'm asking you is, I can see Nebraska winning every game. This schedule.
Wow. So the over-under.
Go ahead.
The over-under that a lot of Husker fans talk about has been set at 8. Not 8.5. At 8. Would you take the over on that over-under on win total for the season?
I'll take the over right now. That's free money. I'm about to literally go into a sports thing and place a large wager on that. That is robbery. And I'm asking you this question. So I just said by schedule and Adrian Martinez alone, and they almost beat Ohio State and Michigan, right?
They almost beat Ohio State. They got their butts whooped by Michigan. That was their first beaten down. They beat Michigan State last year. Michigan State wasn't all that impressive.
That almost was a snow beat game,
Iowa
right?
Last year. Yes, that was a snow game. Almost beat Iowa. Should have beaten Northwestern. We lost to. I don't know. It was a tough season. Yeah, too many teams. If I had to answer my own question, I don't think that it's deserving to have the 30-1 odds necessarily. But I do think this is at least a 9 or 10 win team. But
how's the defense?
D-line, really solid, but no great edge rusher, no great pass rusher. So it'll have to be a combination of about 3 or 4 different guys that get about 4 to 6 sacks if they want to get pressure on the quarterback. Inside linebacker is rough. They don't have a whole lot of depth and very little experience. Secondary, though, is deep. It's probably on the defensive side of the ball. It's probably been the best area that the Huskers have recruited over the past since Scott Frost got there. And even before then, that's where's probably their bread and butter of recruiting. So defensively, they should be a lot better. Hopefully, they just need to force more turnovers. Offensively speaking, they're stacked at quarterback as long as Adrian stays healthy. The running back situation has a potential to be slightly troubling because Maurice Washington has gotten himself into some legal issues, so who knows if he'll be suspended or even available for this season. And he was a true freshman phenom for the Huskers. But they also have a couple incoming freshmen that are going to have the chance, like Wandale Robinson is from... Do you know who Rondale Moore is?
It sounds familiar.
The one-man band that plays for Purdue that beat Ohio State single-handedly.
Yes. Is he the, he was the true freshman last year, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that guy's the best.
Wandale Robinson works with the, if I remember correctly, works with from the same in the same trainer, but they were both the number one players in their state, which was Kentucky. People were saying that he's pretty much a spitting image. So it'll be fun to see what he can do in a Scott Frost offense.
Hmm.
Receivers thin, though. They're going to have a lot of playmakers step up that have not. One player, interesting enough, that has the potential. Do you know what former NFL quarterback, former Super Bowl champ, has a son on the team that plays receiver?
I thought McCaffrey.
No, he's a backup quarterback, but nice.
Okay. Okay.
The other one is...
Give me a hint. Give me something. We got time to film this podcast.
He wore a glove.
Oh, is it Kurt?
Yeah, Kurt Warner.
Kurt Warner?
Yeah, has a son, Cade Warner, that plays receiver for the Huskers.
Is he good?
He started in a couple games last year, so as of now, he's still good? He has great blocking. He holds a couple Arizona school Arizona State records in receiving. So
not bad. Not bad. Anyways, at all. So here's my questions back to you.
Okay.
First off, what would be a disappointing season for you is eight if you hit right on the nose that 8 wins, would you be disappointed? And then secondly, did you just ask this question to talk about Nebraska football for 20 minutes?
I'll answer the first question first. 7 wins would be, 7 or less would be extremely disappointing. 8 will be understandable because I would assume that there will probably be some injuries along the way. But if it's 8 and with very little injuries, I'll be okay with it, but still, like, I need to see some more. And yes, I did. To answer your second question, to be able to talk some Husker football.
I mean, I don't mind talking Nebraska. Those 30-1 odds, though, man, that's crazy. Vegas must see this schedule. They must see no Michigan, no Michigan State, Ohio State at home early in the season. First season without Urban Meyer, early in the season. Both are undefeated. It's going to be a night game. Night games in Nebraska like this have not happened in years. So they're thinking and Ohio State struggles on the road of these primetime games. So, I mean, they're going to be them and Purdue are going to be the two teams in shootouts constantly in the Big Ten, of the Big Ten. So, well done. You know what, man? When it's my turn to ask the questions during football season starts, you better get ready for some soccer questions thrown your way. And you're like, what are you asking this for? And I'm like, oh, the floor is mine for 5 minutes now. Well done.
Sounds,
well done, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I got 2 more. SEC Media Days, still going on. Obviously, Nick Saban is the king of all kings when it comes to SEC. After that, I would say the top 2 or 3 coaches would be Jimbo, Kirby Smart, and Gus Malzahn, and what is Florida's head coach's name?
Dan Mullen, Dirty Dan.
Dan Mullen, Dirty Dan. Thank you. But my question kind of goes towards one of Nick Saban's descendants. Will Kirby Smart ever be able to get Georgia over the hump, unlike Mark Richt did, or couldn't?
I think he will, Think about his first 2 years. He is a Hail Mary away from losing. Not a Hail Mary, but a Tua. My pronunciation game's not great right now. So Tua, they're a Tua second half comeback and a second and 25 bomb away from winning a national championship. Last year, they're another backup. Jalen Hurts comes in and they lose that game in that SEC championship game by a touchdown. He's recruiting as well as anyone in the country. He's in probably the second, I would say, outside the Pac-12. He is in the first or second easiest division. I'd say a top three easiest division in college football, the SEC East. Jeremy Pruitt has Tennessee become building slightly, but we hear that every year that Tennessee is coming with these great recruiting classes. Florida improved year, very good win. I think they won the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl against Michigan. Sugar Bowl against Michigan. I'm thinking out loud here.
That sounds right.
Because I think UCF got spanked by LSU in the Peach Bowl.
No, that was the Fiesta.
Thank you. That's why you're here. Thank you. Maybe it was Peach Bowl. Whatever. It's not important. Outside of that, Kentucky just had their best year and still didn't make really a threat. Vanderbilt's on the rise, but it's Vanderbilt. Mizzou just lost Drew Lock. Who else am I missing in that division? It's not the point. The point is Kirby Smart has a pipeline of talent that everyone in the country would love to have. He has a great coaching staff around him. He is one of the best defensive minds in college sports. So I think he'll get over the hump. Do I think it's this year? I'm not sure. But if it's not with Fromm this year, then the next quarterback's already there. And Georgia, as long as Georgia has a quarterback, they are always going to be in the national championship discussion. And they have a quarterback right now, and they're going to have him in the future, and it's going to keep going as long as Kirby Smart's there. Are you doubting Kirby Smart in Georgia?
No, I'm just wondering at what point in time is someone going to pick Kirby Smart in Georgia over Bama? And I just don't see that happening until I see it happening. I won't pick it until... I have no reason to pick Georgia over Bama because it's my whole thing with sports. You only get so many opportunities before you run out. And when you blow leads to backup quarterbacks that come into games, you got to be more resilient than that. And I just hate the way that that's how their culture started. Maybe it'll make them hungrier, but to me, it just seems like it has the potential to be some bad juju. But
I don't think it's this year because I think Tua and Judy and all them, like, this Bama offense is still loaded. So I don't think this year will be the year that they get it done. But once Tua's gone, I mean, we'll see if Bama can continue having this dynamic offense.
Fair enough. Last question. Switching gears to more your speed. With it as of now looking as if CP3 is going to be staying in OKC. Two-part question. Will he ever get another real shot at winning a ring? And if so, who would you pair him with in his later stages of his career? Who would you pair him with as the ideal teammate to get him to that point? Especially with how the landscape... Let's say like he plays this year in OKC. The next year, if he could have the choice of which team he could want to join, as the rosters stand right now, where do you think he would best fit in?
I don't know about fit in, but he would pick the Lakers, no question. He can play off ball, he can play on ball, and run pick and roll with Anthony Davis. He can run pick and roll with LeBron if LeBron ever decides to become a screener. There's just so many things that would be honestly very intriguing. but I don't think the contract's going to work. And I actually like the Lakers putting LeBron at point guard and then having just defenders and 3D guys around him. So that would make sense with me the most. But, I mean, a lot of people have been looking at this Thunder team. And if they hold on to Gallinari and Chris Paul, which is what's supposed to happen, which is looking like it's going to happen right now, they think they're going to be an 8th seed in the race for the 8th seed. So I'm looking at the roster, and the starting five is going to be Steven Adams. Roberson's back. You're going to start two guards with Shai Gilgeous and Chris Paul and Gallinari. So you have Gallinari, SGA, Roberson, Gallinari, and Adams. That's not the worst starting five. Their bench with Schroeder, their bench isn't good, but you have that as a foundation as a starting five. I think they could be good, but I don't want them to be good. I don't want I want the Thunder to win 35 games, and I don't want Chris Paul. I want Chris Paul to become the not necessarily role model, but I want him to take a young player under his wing. Take Shai Gilgeous-Alexander under his wing and be like, hey, you get inside my mind. You watch how I work these pick and rolls. Watch how I do this and that. Because SGA is already a great passer, great handle, phenomenal defender. He's 6'6", 21-year-old point guard who has playoff starting experience against the Warriors, going up against defending Steph and Klay, and even spending some time on KD. So I don't want his development to be hindered. So I hope that CP3 gets traded. But who wants to take that contract on? Nobody. So it's kind of like, you know, who is willing to give up a lot of salary and absorb a 34-year-old 6-foot point guard who has one of the worst contracts in the year. And think about this, Noah. We did this last week. The Rockets had to give up all of their draft capital just to get rid of him. So I don't think anyone's going to be turning their heads to get him back now, especially because he's not the easiest player to get along with, which is why I think him being with a LeBron, one of his banana boat teammates, would be the best situation for him to be happy and all that stuff. But it's not going to happen. He's going to be OKC Thunder. It's going to keep OKC fun and relevant. I just don't want it to hinder SGA.
That's fair. So do you think he'll ever get another shot at winning a title?
No. Nope. Because I don't think the smart teams are going to trade for that. Because then you're in cap hell for the next 4 years.
How long is his contract?
He has 4 years. Yeah. I'll give you the exact numbers in 20 seconds. Chris Paul contract. His contract is for 4 years, $159 million. He has 3 years left on his deal. He makes $38 million, $41 million, and then $44 million when he's 36 years old. He has a player option in 2021. So the only way I can see him doing it, is if he opts out of $44 million to then try to get a bigger deal or chase rings. And I'm not saying, you know, it's $44 million. And I'm sure Chris Paul is very happy. I'm sure State Farm pays him $44 million. But I want the bread. Sorry. I'm going to opt in. And, you know, I've done a lot in my career. I feel like the thing that's going to suck most for Chris Paul is that he's going from living from Los Angeles to Houston to Oklahoma City.
Yeah, he really has downgraded.
He's lived in North New Orleans. He spent a season in Oklahoma City. He lived in New Orleans, Los Angeles, Houston. And now he's living in Oklahoma City. That must suck. No, I've never been to Oklahoma. One of my best friends in the world, Adam, his whole family's from Oklahoma. He left Oklahoma. He went to Oklahoma State, lived after 2 years. I don't think it's a place that players desire to live, as we've seen with Kevin Durant leaving to go to Golden State in San Francisco, although that's different stuff. But unless Chris Paul opts out of this contract, in 2022, which I don't think anyone's even going to want him to be on the roster unless he's in a Gary Payton with the Heat role, where Gary Payton comes in, you know, just plays a couple spot minutes here and there, moves the ball, plays defense, just uses his IQ to keep the control of the game. I don't see him getting a ring or even getting a chance to at one. Unless, very quickly, I just thought this up. Unless OKC flips all of those picks into getting superstars, which I don't think is going to happen.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a very smart long-term plan for all those assets that they have for the Thunder, just because that's banking a lot on a point guard in Chris Paul. That is, a lot of his game is based off athleticism. And if he doesn't, as you get, you know, into that 32-plus range, you really start losing that athleticism, especially in the NBA. So it'd be tough to see. I'm with you. I think his shot was with the Rockets. And if they were to got past Golden State, they would have really had a chance to beat Toronto. But
which is why it's disappointing. It's disappointing because he got injured and they went seven games with one of the greatest teams ever. And it's considered a disappointment, which shows you the expectations that people had for Houston. A lot of people went in, I don't know if we recorded about it, but I don't know if I picked Houston to win that series. I think I did in six. But that was more so on the fact that I didn't like but that was Golden State was struggling against the Clippers and all that stuff. But those are all your questions? Those are great questions, by the way.
Thank you. Those are all of my questions.
All right, so we have 18 minutes. I'm going to let you do a lot of the talking for this one. This is one of my favorite topics, favorite things about sports. And I've thought about it. I've discussed this a lot over the past. Privately, I've discussed this. And that is the specialization of athletes at a young age. And Baxter Holmes at ESPN wrote a phenomenal article entitled, "These Kids Are Ticking Time Bombs, The Threat of Youth Basketball." But I think it carries over to all sports. I think it carries over to football and just stuff like that. Maybe not other sports. I think specifically football and baseball, football and basketball, where you're seeing a lot of these ACL injuries come to life. And the story breaks down how, you know, these NBA executives are very just, but by the time they get to them, they're already just braced. They've been playing basketball, because think about it. They play AAU all summer. They play high school. They play AAU tournaments during the weekend of that. They play U.S. national camps. They play Nike camps, Adidas camps, Jordan camps, Under Armour camps. Just consistently playing basketball. And when they're not doing that, they're training. They're doing skills thing. They're just constantly just putting so much wear and tear on their legs that their legs just give out. The one thing is that Julius Randle's leg broke minutes into his career. I remember it against the Houston Rockets. They were getting destroyed. And that was just the final nail in the coffin of a terrible night for the Lakers opening night. And it was just wear and tear. There was no explanation for it, besides the fact that he suffered a stress reaction. And it was repetitive impacts to the bone that had led its structure to break down. And team spokesman later said that the stress reaction is likely what contributed to the break. So, these kids are ticking time bombs. And what this says is that they specialize and they're constantly doing that. But, I mean, did you play multiple sports growing up?
Yeah, I did. I wasn't always phenomenal at all the other sports that I played, but I did play multiple sports.
But you did. And knock on wood, did you ever have any serious leg injuries?
Leg injuries? No, I sprained my ankles a couple times, but I wouldn't deem those as serious.
Yeah, all of us pickup players have gone a couple sprains and stuff, and we act like we're Jordan playing the flu game when we come back the next day. Like, oh man, I'm gonna suffer through this ankle injury. I just got a hoop, man. But this one of the things that stands out to me in this article is that they talk about the specialization. They talk about how in the '80s and the '90s, the players would literally not do anything in the summer. They'd go golf. they just go to the beach and do stuff, which is why, you know, Luke Walton, Richard Jefferson, these guys go play beach volleyball all summer. So my question is to you, someone who is in the training, in the ATPT training, in the FSU program, is specialization of sports not ruining, but does it increase the room? Does it increase the injury risk of these players more? And if so, how? Because playing football, I feel like, is just as bad on your legs and stuff like that. If you're a basketball player playing football or vice versa, I feel like that's still just a lot of continued stress on your legs.
I can't necessarily say for sure if the specialization of athletes into their sport is increasing their risk of long-term health, but always being in an in-season sport. So for example, if you're a football player that also plays basketball, that also either runs track or plays baseball, more than likely, and then you get into the summer of the calendar year and you're finishing up baseball, or you're doing travel basketball, or you're doing travel baseball, and then you're getting ready for football again come August, your body needs a break. Like, part of training is resting. But one of the most important things that the human body does is sleep. And if you're not getting adequate rest, if you're not getting adequate sleep, then how can you imagine, it's not sustainable. And while I'm a huge, like, for example, it's something that kind of happens on NFL Twitter a lot, draft Twitter in particular. Draft Twitter people love linemen that also wrestled. But the thing is you're doing two completely different things. You're not worried about, and this is slightly different, but you're not worried about as much head trauma in wrestling as you are with football. So that in of itself kind of gets a break, but you're having to be more flexible with being a heavyweight wrestler. And you're having to adapt your way in which you're going in different sports because you have to train differently for different sports. The way a football player trains for football is going to be much different than how you train for basketball, because football, yes, it's tough and you get tired, but basketball, you have to be able to run up and down the court. And if you don't have that endurance, you don't necessarily need to have that endurance as a football player all the time, but you can't survive on the basketball court without having that endurance. So I am a huge proponent of the cross training and being able to play multiple sports, but there comes a point in time where they're kids and they need to be able to enjoy being kids, I think, for their own mental well-being, instead of just being, yeah, my parents pushed me to play these sports all the time. You know, some of them may or may not even have enjoyed them. If they're good at sports, then they probably enjoyed it, because who doesn't love winning? It's just getting that rest and getting that time off for the, like I said, for the mental health, but also for the body, just to kind of rehabilitate on its own. The body's a great, the reason why I love studying the body is because our body is so much smarter and more in tune than we could ever imagine it being. Like, the way in which I heal my ankle after I play basketball, play basketball, or I go play IMs, my ankle's hurting me, I literally put it in a bucket of ice for 20 minutes, and I wake up less swelling, less pain, just for making it cold. The body can do crazy things, but if you're not giving it adequate rest and you're not giving it the proper maintenance that it requires, yeah, eventually it is going to wear and tear, and it's going to be the detriment of the athlete. And if you don't feel well, if your body's not feeling well, how can you expect your players to mentally be there and trust your body? You're just shortening the lifespan of players. And to speak to this on a baseball level, I read recently that baseball players are, a lot of younger baseball players are getting Tommy John surgery earlier, and then once after you get Tommy John, like your elbow, it's not like you have like this robotic elbow, but your elbow's typically a lot better. Like if you get Tommy John surgery, you're not necessarily always looking at having to do it again. So a lot of the times it can be a one-stop shop. But they're saying, oh yeah, you know, there are less players that are getting it in this, like less college players or less young MLB players that are getting it. Well, yeah, because these kids are starting to get these surgeries a lot earlier in the early stages of college or even high school. And so, yeah, those statistics might be going down, but why? It's just because the timeline, the time frame has just shifted up. And if you're having, we should not be having 15, 16, 17-year-old guys or even girls that are still having their bodies grow, having major surgery like that, unless if it was a freak accident. Like my little sister had Tommy John surgery because I watched it happen. Her elbow is double jointed. It's not a thing, but for lack of a better explanation, her elbow's double jointed. It hit the floor. It went one way and tore all those ligaments. She had to have Tommy John surgery, not because of overusage, but just because of a freak accident more so.
But to hone on your point, do you think that, not to make your little sister the subject of this conversation, but do you think that she's a gymnast? As long as I've known Tommy, as long as I've known about the twins, they've been in a gym, constantly training, constantly doing all these things. So, do you think the constant wear and tear had anything, not wear and tear, the constant her just doing flips, doing tricks, doing stunts, all these things, do you think that had anything to do with the Tommy John just saying, you know what, it's snapping, it's the elbow snapping?
I don't know, that's hard for me to say, but I do think a lot of the reason which she transitioned from not being a gymnast, aside from all the other reasons, was because of her elbow. And even she's a cheerleader now, and even her being a cheerleader, she had to really develop that strength and had a lot of pressure on that elbow. And it was a weakness for a long time for her. For me, as much as it is on a wear and tear on the bodies, I'm equally as worried about the wear and tear of the mind, because you can convince yourself to be able to do anything you want to do. Anything you want to do. Like I went on a 3.5 mile run in Tallahassee earlier this week, and we were running, and we at the last like bit is us running around the football stadium. And when we got to the beginning of running around the football stadium, I was gassed. I was huffing and puffing. But I told myself, this is the time where you get mentally stronger. But if your body is constantly getting worn down and your body's not feeling right, then yeah, it's going to be hard to push through that I need to be mentally tough. And I'm not trying to call kids soft, but there's this instant gratification that we have in our society right now, and the whole everyone deserves to get a medal phenom that happens all the time, that it's ruining the whole reason why we have sports. The reason why people talk about football being such a great thing is because you can do your job all the way, but you have to rely and trust your teammates to do their job, and you need to make sure you're doing your job every single play so that everyone else is on the same page and doing their job. And even when all that happens, a lot of the times it's not going to go your way, and you have to learn when one play you can get blown up. Like I used to be mauled by big guards that would come pulling right around me, and I would have to get up and get after it again and be like, it doesn't matter because we're on a new play. But I just fear that, and I saw this as a gymnastics coach, like, and Nino can attest to this as well. There'd be times where we'd be coaching gymnastics and I would tell the kids, this sucked. That was one of the worst of whatever skill that I've ever seen you do. And they would look at me like they've never been told that they sucked ever before. But the thing is if you don't realize you suck, how are you ever going to get better? And like for this podcast, for what we do, I send the podcast out to people and I'm always wondering, hey, if there's stuff that you don't like or the things that you don't enjoy, tell me. I want to know what you don't like, because if I don't know what sucks, I'll never get better. Mm-hmm. But kids and people don't like always hearing that truth. And I feel like, especially in today's world, and maybe that's what people always say, in today's world, even in the 50s, all the people their age were, in today's world, it's not how it used to be, but... I used to swim and get 18th place ribbons. I don't want an 18th place ribbon. That's just a smack in the face. I don't want to admit that 17 kids were faster than me, even though there were 30 of us. Like, keep your ribbon. That's stupid.
That's when you hang up right next to your trophy, man. That's when you're proud of. Oh man, that's hysterical, dude. That is hysterical. So. I feel like a lot of this specialization comes from the fact that there's a lot of pressure to, you know, stand out from the beginning, because it's a social media age. Anyone could be their own recruiter per se. And you have to, you're trying to keep up with the best of the best, the Zions, the RJ Barretts, you know, LeBron's back and these. You're trying to keep up with these guys. So you have to work twice as hard, you think. And you do have to work twice as hard, but you have to be smart about it. And the main thing that stands out from this article to me is it's a separate 2006 study from Bell, and Bell is University of Wisconsin. He's in the professor in the Department of Kinesiology Athletic Training. 36% of high school athletes classified as highly specialized, training in one sport for more than 8 months a year. And those athletes were 2 to 3 times more likely to suffer a hip or knee injury. That is...
Wow.
That shows you and I. I've long believed I played basketball, football, baseball, soccer growing up. I implement all of those things. It's all the same. Every single sport you play is in the athletic position. Feet separated, feet hips width, knees slightly bent, butt down. That's how you play defense in every sport. That's how you hit a golf ball. That's even how you hit a baseball. You get to that same load position. That's where all the power is generated from. But there's different ways to train those muscles. And you give those muscles a break, and you go and just go bike and you swim and you golf. You're giving your legs a break. I mean, I even told you this. I literally am taking the summer off from basketball. I'm like, you know, my ankle started hurting. My ankle's good now. I can't even tell you how many times I texted you and said, "Oh, my ankle, bro, I need rehab for my ankle. I need to get stronger." You know what helps? Resting, like you said, just relaxing, or doing other things that don't put the physical stress on it. And that's the main thing about this. And the other thing is that you learn different disciplines. If I didn't play football, I probably wouldn't be as disciplined as I am now in basketball. If I didn't play basketball, I probably wouldn't be as free flowing and creative in other avenues in my life. Like, you learn different things from different coaches. You're with one coach your whole life. You're not going to learn much. You're not. You go to a football coach, you learn to get tough. It comes with it. Everyone knows you are tougher when you leave a football field. And if you're not tough enough, You will feel the wrath of the coaches, you'll feel the wrath of the other players, and you probably won't enjoy it. That's just how it is. So I've constantly been a fan of not specializing, playing different sports. You meet so many different people too. It's such, you know, just be kids, take it serious. But LeBron played football in high school until he became on ESPN. So there's just a bunch of different things to do. I recommend, I mean, I'm not someone who should be giving advice, but just take it easy and just enjoy being a kid, enjoy high school. And if you're good enough to make it to college, you're good enough to make it to college. Hard workers make it all the time, but it's usually the best athletes. And you usually know from this, when you can go to the next level. So, I mean, do you have anything to conclude this with? Because I know we're running very, very short on time, and we're already over the hour mark. So I'll give you the final word.
No, just I'm right there with you. I'm all about trying new things. Like, I would have a bunch of different parents would bring their basketball players or their young football players or soccer players, and they would bring them into the gym, and I would teach them gymnastics. And the skills that we learned in gymnastics are very transferable to other sports, because you learn flexibility, you learn relative strength, and learn control over your body, and you learn to try something that is very, very uncomfortable and extremely scary for a lot of people. Get outside your comfort zone. That's all it is.
Before I moved to Canada, my brother told me, if you're comfortable, you're not growing. So remain uncomfortable. Throw yourself in these random situations, and you will see who you're made of, see how you grow. So, Noah, we made it through it, man. We made it through. That was a really strong last 20 minutes. Good discussion. That's something that we've been wanting to talk about for the past week. And next week, I promise you guys, it begins. Football is here. We're going to discuss we're each going to pick three NFL teams that we are most excited to watch. And we're going to come on here and discuss them. And it's here, guys. You made it through all the basketball talk. You made it through some college football media days for the first 2/3 of this podcast. Now we're at the good stuff. Noah, thanks for joining me as always.
Thanks for having me. It was another great pod.
All right, guys. That is it on the subscribe. No, I don't care. we'll tweet out the links. We'll tweet all the good stuff. If you honestly just follow us on No Ordinary Pod on Twitter. I'm mdugger33. Noah is Noah Hemer. That's HIEMER. And have a good one, guys. That'll do it for us on the No Ordinary Pod and Radio St. Pete Network.